If you were here on Palm Sunday, you might remember that I tried to remind us that Jesus was just a man with an enormous capacity to love in the face of the ultimate human fear, death. And if he could overcome death, so could we. But today's gospel challenges my view of Jesus in no uncertain terms. In fact, to be honest, John tells me I'm flat wrong. Okay. I'm trying to absorb that reality. Now, 4 weeks into Easter, John's gospel has Jesus saying he is the good shepherd. Does that mean that he's a man who tends sheep for a living? No. Not any more than it means he's a loaf of bread or a grapevine or a glass of water, which are also images John uses in his gospel to describe Jesus. No, this beloved image of the Good Shepherd, one that is dear to us, we use it in our funerals all the time. And it's probably one of the most favorite windows, stained glass windows, in churches around the world. Even St. Matthew's has one over in the Charles Taylby window. Charles being someone who died at the age of 19. We often put those windows in for to remember young people who died. No, John's used this image for some very important purposes to him. John is echoing the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, by the time John wrote this, some 60 to 80 years after Jesus' death, Jesus had gone through a remarkable transformation in the minds of the church, from an itinerant Jewish rabbi and teacher to a messianic leader in the line of David, to an adopted son of God, to the Son of God, and finally into a Greek concept of being the incarnate Word of God, who was with the Father from the beginning, through whom the world was made. The doctrine of the Trinity is still centuries in the future, but the groundwork for it has now been laid. In having Jesus say, "I am the Good Shepherd," John is identifying him with God, the same God who keeps us from want, lays down with us in green pastures, and walks with us, yea, even through the valley of the shadow of death. Not only does John say God and Jesus are all but the same, he goes further. Jesus has shown us that God will not only walk through the valley, he has died for us as well. Well, in my nearly 9 months in New Zealand, if I've learned one thing, I've learned that Kiwis are familiar with sheep. Even in this high-tech world, they are an important part of our economy, valued for their wool and for manufacturing and for their meat for food. But did you know that the beginnings of animal husbandry were not for the purposes of food and clothing? They were to raise up sacrifices for the gods to appease and please them. So when John describes Jesus as the good shepherd, that is, God, he has him go further to say that the good shepherd lays down his life for the flock. By implication, Jesus in his crucifixion was the lamb God's sacrifice to appease God. Now that's an interesting concept that pretty much defies the modern mind. It seems hardly useful. But for John, and for everyone in the early church, and frankly for everyone in the church until about 200 years ago, it made sense. It was everyone's view. Jesus, John is telling me, was definitely not a man. But 200 years ago, science started to change the world. our worldview. Our minds were changed and challenged by it. It made it challenging to understand God as on some being on a throne in heaven who intervenes on occasion to deliver us from evil and to give us today our daily bread. The world had matured and moved on, but our understanding of God was trapped in Scripture and remained stuck in a time frame not our own. Many have decided, as a result, that God is no longer relevant, even dead. Others have tried to hang on to the idea of Jesus and honor him as a teacher and a source of wisdom. Still others have gone a totally different direction and decided that the problem is the modern secular world. And so they choose to suspend their mind in disbelief and to hang on fiercely to the God of the Bible and to his son, a divine Jesus. They frankly remind me of the Queen of Hearts, who tells Alice that she believes as many as 6 impossible things before breakfast. I think Jesus, the man, would weep that it has come to this. Remember, Jesus wasn't exempt from his time in history. God was still a being residing on that throne in heaven, and heaven was that place just beyond the stars. Jesus, as a man, was a Jew. Like most, he did not believe in afterlife. Sheol was the place of the dead, and there the dead stayed dead. His focus was to be a good Jew, and to be a good Jew was to live life well. Jesus, as a Jew, also believed that God was one and would never conceive of himself as the second person of the Godhead. That wouldn't have even crossed his mind. What he was thought was important was about how we live life. And how we live life was about how we choose to live life. Do we choose life or death in how we live? His message and example was to choose life. When we do, we reveal the nature of God that is within us. And he thought that was pretty cool. But even cooler was that when we did so, we spread the kingdom of heaven. Now, the kingdom of heaven wasn't a place, even for Jesus. It was a state of being, a state of being fully human. It's a place where we lived fearlessly and abundantly and loved wastefully. It was a place where sin no longer separated us and everyone was welcome to the party he called a wedding feast. Jesus might have asked John, cut Clay some slack. Why do you spend so much time trying to explain me? Is it to avoid doing what I have done? But he might not have minded being described as the good shepherd, but not for the reason John did it, which would have frankly mystified him. Shepherds by Jesus' time were not much admired. They were barely above tax collectors in the eyes of respectable folk. Shepherds were the dispossessed, the lowest rung of society, no longer owning their own land, then losing their sheep. They often ended up as the hired hands of the Rome-oriented wealthy urban dwellers, those absentee landlords Jesus talks about in his parables. These hired shepherd's servants depended for their livelihood on work that required them to be out in the fields and away from their mothers, wives, daughters, and sisters, whom an honorable man, with the means to do so, would have stayed home to protect. As a result, shepherds were considered the epitome of questionable honor among men. Unreliable at best, borderline bandits at worst. In such a context, a good shepherd was a contradiction. As the author of the Good Samaritan, Jesus would have appreciated the irony and smiled with amusement at his portrayal as the gentle Jesus with the lamb in our window. But it was not always thus. When Hebrews were nomads, shepherding was a noble profession. Shepherds moved daily into the unknown, trusting God that there would be manna from heaven and fresh water from stones. They looked for God in the journey. Life was hard, but they moved through it. It had to be lonely under the desert stars, but they found comfort in community, in keeping their flock together. They understood that they were a partnered people, partnered with God and with each other. When cities appeared, not only did the nomadic life disappear, so did their trust in the journey. Transition was no longer accepted as normal. It was feared. But transitions didn't go away. People were still born, reared, schooled, employed, unemployed, partnered, unpartnered, caregivers, given care, bereaved, and eventually all die. But death was more than just the end of this body. Death was about passages. It is the passage of each moment of experience as it fades to the next, each day as it darkens into the next. We are always moving, always walking in the valley of the shadow of loss. Fear is often the defining quality of our journey. But unlike the nomadic shepherd, we have not been formed in the wilderness. We rarely experience community. To trust in the midst of our fear, frankly, seems naive in this brutal world. For many of us, we no longer have John's God or John's Jesus to protect us. We are left to ourselves and the black hole of anxiety in our gut that threatens to suck us into oblivion. We resist it by hanging on to anger at feeling this way, or by denying its reality, or by offering it sacrifices. Yes, we still offer sacrifices. Sacrifices of alcohol, drugs, work, food, relationships. But nothing appeases it, or at least not for long. Jesus, the man, knew the same feelings. Scripture, probably with some embarrassment, even records it. Once in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he sweated blood and begged to be spared his apparent fate. And once on the cross, when he quoted a psalm, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus, the man, would accept the title Good Shepherd only as an opportunity to show us the nomadic way and to invite us all to be good shepherds. Don't fight it. Don't deny it. And God, don't appease it, he might say. We are all in continual transition, and we are all in this together. It is both our blessing and curse of being human. Life is letting go in order to receive, one moment to the next. We can either be fearful of that journey or trust the power behind it. If we hang on in fear, our lives close in on themselves, leading to death. If we let go and trust, our lives open up to new life. Jesus would say, trust God's power, which is found in love, life, and our very being. Trust it to transform us. Resurrection isn't about resuscitated bodies, Jesus says. It's about transformation, he might tell us. It's about experiencing that which we call God in every moment of our lives. Entering into those moments fully, be they difficult or joyous, gives us the possibility of living life to the fullest. Doing it with love assures it. A man did it, he might say. You don't have to believe six impossible things before breakfast to do as well. The capacity is within us because God is there. We don't have to fear the journey because God is there as well. God goes before us, Jesus says, and I have shown the way. Let go and be on your way.